Welcome to Psalm 73. Melanie Hurlbut here, joining you today as we launch into Book 3. When these Psalms were written, the Davidic kingdom was in crisis, and the promises of Psalms 1 and 2 seemed to be turned on their heads. The wicked are prospering, and the righteous, those attempting to live in covenant faithfulness to Yahweh, well, they are definitely not. Can you identify with this struggle? Something's going horribly wrong. Let's join our psalmist as he wrestles with this dilemma and tries to imagine what it means for the righteous to prosper during these difficult times. Verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Did you hear the psalmist name his temptation in these turbulent times? It's envy, that green-eyed monster that manipulates you through jealousy to join the wicked on their way. The psalmist doesn't doubt God and his word. He knows God has promised good to Israel, and specifically to the pure in heart who walk in his ways. But listen, he says, my feet had almost slipped, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. This is so descriptive. Can you imagine it? Life is complicated. God's pathway has gotten muddy. It's so drenched with runoff from the wicked people's way of life that any delight the psalmist had in keeping God's instructions is slipping away. His gaze is fixed on the prosperity of the wicked. Like the serpent polishing the forbidden fruit until it shines, this is a temptation as old as time. Listen to what the psalmist sees. Verse 4. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. What does the psalmist see when he looks at the wicked? Good-looking people. They're healthy and strong. They're not lacking for good food. They enjoy the time and money it takes to keep in tip-top shape. They're not worried about how to pay their bills, what they're going to wear, or how to keep food on the table. They're living a good life without seeking God's kingdom first. And listen to how they flaunt it in verse 6. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Did you notice all the figurative language? It shows how sin seeps inward to destroy those walking on this path. First, it's something they put on. Pride like a necklace, and violence like clothing. But soon, their callous hearts and their imaginations become limitless sources of evil. Challenging God himself, their mouths and tongues claim ownership of both heaven and earth. But ironically, their conceit is strangely attractive. Listen to what happens as the psalmist hears the sickening cheers of the crowds in verse 10. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Isn't this a disgusting image? The wicked scoff and spew malicious words about their own greatness, and the people drink it up. Grotesquely attracted to their power, the arrogant amass a fandom of people happy to finance their lifestyle and join in their boasts. For God's faithful, it feels like a hostile takeover. Israel's culture is championing the wicked and mocking the way of the Lord, all while flaunting its ostentatious wealth. And that's precisely when the green-eyed monster, envy, mimicking our own inner voice, whispers its deceptively sweet words. We hear them in verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure, and my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Have you heard this hiss of envy's temptations? I certainly have. It stirs up feelings of futility. What have you done with your life? There's no future in missions. Why struggle with honesty? Just sing the song, join the crowds. Why should we hold fast to the Lord's way? Does it really make a difference? The psalmist's answer may surprise you. Listen to verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. Wow. The psalmist refuses to give voice to envy's words. Why? He says, I would have betrayed your children. Betrayed. Now that's a strong word. How can envying the wicked betray God's children? Struggling to understand, the psalmist has to change his location. Listen to verse 16 and 17. It troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. With his eyes fixed on the wicked, the psalmist's footsteps were slipping, leading him astray. But now, in God's sanctuary, he's returned his gaze upward towards God's promised future. And there he can see ahead of him two paths, the way of life and the way of destruction. And suddenly, the power of envy is broken, overshadowed by the dark reality of the wicked's final destiny. Verse 18, surely you cast them down to ruin. Suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. These are grim words, cast down to ruin, destroyed, swept away by terrors, despised by fantasies. The wicked may seem larger than life now, full of themselves in their pride and boasting. But when the Lord arises, they're shown to be nothing more than a bad dream. Nothing compared to the incredible reality of God's promised future. And so the psalmist looks back at his narrow escape from envy's grip in verse 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. What did envy do to him? These three descriptions, senseless, ignorant, a brute beast, say it all. But unlike Cain, who ignored the Lord's warning, the psalmist, with God's help, has mastered it. Verse 23, you hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Amazing. What is God's destiny for the righteous? In the present, God holding him, guiding him now. And afterward, what a promise. When God's destination, God's telos for all creation is realized, nothing less than glory. Humans fully sharing his image, reflecting God's goodness and life into God's world. And so the psalmist concludes in verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? The earth has nothing I desire besides you. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. But as for me, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Now the psalmist sees clearly. The wealth of the wicked can't hold a candle to God's glory. Only a fool would cling to a beastly life when offered God's future promises, the high calling of bearing the glorious image of God. History belongs to the faithful. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, even in the midst of uncertain times. God, great is your faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm throwing my whole lot in with God and his children.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.